This meeting is being recorded.
So, it sounds like I missed out on a good conversation you guys were having before the meeting. Sorry about that. But we can go ahead and get started with the planning committee meeting unless there's anybody that we're still waiting for.
I'm not aware that we're waiting, Andrea. Joel had mentioned that he was going to try to log in, and I don't see him on yet, but I don't think he was expecting us to wait.
Okay. Well, then let's go ahead and call to order the March 1st meeting of the Des Moines Water Works Planning Committee. We'll just have folks introduce themselves as they speak. But starting things off for us today, we have the preliminary engineering report for the Sailorville Water Treatment Plant expansion.
Andrea, I'll kick this off very briefly, and then I'm going to immediately hand it to Mark Dubin with HDR. But I think that what we have here today is a very important topic, one I think you'll find very interesting. You will recall that last year we had HDR update our long-range plan and confirm that we needed to move forward at pace with our expansion planning and get things ready to meet customer demand off into the future. And given the length of time it takes to construct these types of expansions, we felt it was prudent to move ahead with preliminary engineering. But we had a little bit of a quandary because of our regionalization discussions or regional governance discussions and the status. We didn't know if we needed to be looking at a 10 MGD increase in our capacity or a 25 MGD. And so we actually chose to look at both. 10 and 25. And Mark is here today to share an update. They made great progress. Even have some recommendations for us. They're not done yet, not completely done, and we don't have the costs figured out, but we wanted to get before the board and share an update so that then we can move forward and share this information with the rest of the metro area. So, Mark, with that, I think I'll turn it over to you and let you walk through your presentation, and then we'll see what questions the board may have.
All right. I'll pop up my PowerPoint here. Think I will. Here we go. No, I'm still not sharing. I'm going to stop share and start it again here. There's everybody seeing the slides?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. We'll start off. Pleased to be here today to give you an update on our results to date on the preliminary engineering study for the Sailorville plant capacity expansion. We'll go through a little background, overview of the 10 MGD expansion, overview of the 25 MGD expansion, some ongoing water distribution modeling that's taking place, and then just our perspectives on the 10 MGD versus the 25 MGD projects. So background kind of in the context of the long range plan update and progress report that we finished last year. The original long range plan was completed in September 2017. Last year we completed an update in March and we presented that to your board last March, and then on to the presentation to the representatives of the full metro region in April. And you can see the elements of the plan that we had updated. This one table kind of shows the whole process of everything that was updated. The numbers in black are from the original 2017 plan. The numbers in red are those updated in last year's update. If we look all the way to the bottom line, the result of this plan and the update really defines the additional Des Moines Water Works production capacity required in 5-year time windows going forward all the way out to 2040. So your additional production capacity required in addition to your existing 110 MGD capacity. Conclusions from that update. What was our question? All right, I'll carry on. Everybody hearing me okay?
Yes, thanks.
Fine, Mark.
Okay, I'll carry on. Conclusions of that updating. The timeline for the high priority improvements cannot be relaxed. That must be accelerated from the schedule of the 2017 plan. 2 or 3 water source and treatment expansions and 3 aquifer storage and recovery wells must be completed by year 2028 to keep up with the projected water demands. And all of that without other major production capacity by entities other than Des Moines Water Works. So you all have decided to further evaluate both the 10 MGD and 25 MGD expansions of the Sailorville Water Treatment Plant. And this preliminary engineering report effort provides these evaluations. So first, evaluated source water issues. The aerial photo we see here shows the hydrogeologic setting of the Des Moines River alluvial aquifer. That jagged red boundary around either side of the river is roughly the extent of that sandy, gravelly alluvial aquifer in the Des Moines River floodplain, really from Sailorville Dam all the way to downtown Des Moines. The site of your original Sailorville Water Treatment Plant, the existing plant, and the existing horizontal collector wells, HCW 1 and 2, the 2 existing wells that feed source water to the plant. So part of the study was to estimate the yield of the aquifer. Yield north of I-80 is estimated to be 15 to 20 MGD. That's based on your actual horizontal collector wells performance and based on a lot of the original investigation data that you had from the original investigations and construction of those original wells and treatment plant. And then further, the yield south of I-80 was estimated. That's estimated to yield 18 to 30 MGD. Those numbers are based on some initial data from U.S. Geological Survey, their investigation work to date, and other available data. You have USGS in the middle of their effort working with you to do additional investigations and ultimately develop a groundwater model to more accurately and completely define the capacity of the alluvial aquifer. However, that's a little ways out yet before their effort is complete. Using preliminary information, we've made some estimates. The overall results of that yield estimate is that there's enough alluvial groundwater to feed the 10 MGD expansion, but not enough alluvial groundwater to feed the 25 MGD expansion beyond the 10. The 25 MGD expansion must be able to use up to 100% river water directly from the Des Moines River. And the excess alluvial groundwater, the bit of excess that's available, should be preserved for the Fluor plant. A key objective of the 2017 long range plan was to provide some alluvial groundwater source from the Des Moines River aquifer to feed to the Fluor plant to help blend down high nitrates in the river at the Fluor plant. So the first step in the evaluation process was to look at alternatives for treatment technologies and concepts. And then for the 10 MGD expansion first, this is a depiction process schematic of your existing Sailorville water treatment plant process. The existing Sailorville site layout shown on this aerial photo, the treatment building, the attached finished water storage clear well, also the attached raw water pretreatment basin, and the residuals solids lagoons on the site. And then the red surrounding boundary line is the boundary of your existing property, your existing site. This is your existing treatment building layout. It shows the existing ultrafiltration or UF, submerged UF treatment elements, the reverse osmosis or RO for treatment units or treatment trains, the chemical storage and feed area, the high surface pumping, and other elements within the building. And then the kind of the blank white space around the words treatment building is the area within the building available for expansion. So we developed multiple alternatives, multiple treatment process concepts and alternatives for expansion. And for several of the alternatives, several sub-alternatives. So there you can see several. Here's the remainder. So multiple alternatives developed for new treatment process alternatives for capacity expansion. Some key considerations of those alternatives. The existing plant was built as a peaking plant, able to be completely shut down for planned or emergency conditions. And as such, it does not have redundant elements for all treatment processes to be able to operate with one unit out of service. The plant has provided 10 MGD capacity out of a total of 110 MGD system capacity, or only about 9% of the total system capacity. But now as the plant will be expanded to 20, 35, or ultimately 45 MGD capacity at that site, it'll provide a much larger share of the total system capacity. And therefore, it's important that these capacity expansions implement full redundancy for all treatment processes and key components to remain in operation at the design capacity with any one unit out of service. And since the existing plant doesn't provide all of those elements of redundancy, there are some elements to be added in the plant expansion for the existing plant as well. The firm capacity of each alternative includes redundant membrane treatment trains and sufficient membrane area to treat water at the coldest raw water temperatures of 40 degrees Fahrenheit and the highest raw water hardness concentrations of 400. The original plant was designed with capacity at 60 degrees Fahrenheit and at only 300 milligrams per liter hardness. So again, we're designing, building out all these alternatives for the worst case conditions. The expanded plant will be designed to treat 100% alluvial groundwater from horizontal collector wells. We've verified and fairly confident that the alluvial aquifer will provide enough capacity to fill out that 10 MGD expansion. Not all the alternatives have sufficient space to provide redundant membrane trains or additional membrane capacity to produce the desired 20 MGD firm capacity at the coldest temperatures or the highest hardness. So you can see there's a series of alternatives that, because of space constraints within the existing building, only have a little over 15 MGD of firm capacity. And then other alternatives, including a building expansion to provide the correct number and redundancy of treatment units, have that full 20 MGD firm capacity. And it's expected that all the alternatives may meet the DNR permit limits for continued discharge of the water treatment residuals to the river. So among all of the lineup of alternatives through the evaluation, three alternatives were selected for further evaluation. Key point here is one of those alternatives has only the 15.4 firm capacity, while two other alternatives have the full desired 20 MGD firm capacity. So then further evaluation and detailing of those three alternatives followed. And the end result of, you know, all the further evaluations and details of all three alternatives culminated in a comparison of the three alternatives using both non-economic and economic considerations. So you can see the list of all of the non-economic criteria that we evaluated. All three alternatives were evaluated for those criteria and ranked. Also, the economic criteria of initial capital costs, the ongoing annual operation and maintenance costs, and the combination of the two into life cycle costs, all on a per gallon per day treated basis, also ranked for the three alternatives. Then the results of that analysis and ranking. For the non-economic considerations, alternative 4B is highest ranked. The non-economic and the life cycle cost considerations together, alternative 4B and 4E tied for highest ranking. The life cycle cost ranking only, 4E was ranked highest. And then overall, considering all of those elements, alternative 4E is recommended. And that alternative provides the 20 MGD firm capacity. It involves construction of a new chemical building. It keeps the existing submerged UF system in place. It provides a building expansion sized ultimately for the future, but initially only installs 10 MGD expansion of new encased UF membranes with space to fill that out in the future. And it adds 5 new RO treatment trains within the existing building. And it'll require just under 25 MGD of raw water, groundwater, to produce the 20 MGD of finished water. And again, that 20 MGD firm capacity is at those worst case conditions, raw water temperatures of 40 degrees F, and the highest raw water hardness of 400. So then, again, further development and detailing, preliminary engineering and cost development of that one selected alternative followed. This process flow diagram depicts that selected alternative. And this, the site plan drawing shows the new elements, new project elements on the site in relation to the existing. The new in red, a new chemical building, a new water treatment building expansion, and a new redundant pretreatment basin, and how they lay out all within the existing site boundaries. The treatment building layout plan to the left shows the existing plant, shows the 5 new RO treatment units and associated pumping and piping and other improvements within the existing building, and then the new treatment building addition to the right, or actually to the south, that shows a building big enough for the future, but initially only the initial 10 MGD of new encased UF systems in place, with space to add up to another 10 MGD of the new UF systems in the future. Then on the source water side, filling out the source water capacity to feed that plant would include 4 collector wells, 3 of which would be located north of I-80 and 1 immediately south of I-80. And then the required piping system that integrates in with the existing piping network from the 2 plants to feed everything to the existing treatment plant site. Also looked at finished water transmission requirements to get that 10 MGD of additional capacity out of the treatment plant and out where it needs to go. This 10 MGD expansion would only need those transmission main segments that are shown in red to be able to get that 10 MGD to the system and distributed where it needs to go. So on a parallel track, the same process was used for a 25 MGD expansion, initially again evaluating treatment technologies and concepts, individual process elements and alternatives that way. Similarly, you know, a full list of full treatment plant alternatives was built up, initial individual treatment processes, treatment process equipment was selected, and then a full treatment plant process list of alternatives were built up for consideration. These process alternatives included more conventional treatment processes of lime softening granular filtration, membrane processes of UF and RO, and then a hybrid of traditional processes and membrane processes all considered. So key considerations of these alternatives. Similarly, the firm capacity of each alternative includes redundant process units for all processes and sufficient process sizing to treat water at the design temperatures of 40 degrees F and highest hardness of 400. All the design bases are the same for these worst case conditions. The plant will be, go ahead.
I think you're good, Mark.
Okay, sorry. The plant will be designed to treat up to 100% river water at those above design conditions, with advanced treatment processes necessary to treat the higher turbidity, natural organic matter, algae and algal toxins, tastes and odors, and the higher nitrate of the surface water directly from the river. And again, that's because the initial evaluations show there's not enough groundwater to go around to fill out both a 10 MGD expansion and nearly a full 25 MGD expansion. Ion exchange water treatment residuals may not be able to be discharged to either the river or the Des Moines WRA sanitary sewer system, which may effectively make those alternatives with ion exchange infeasible. All alternatives may not meet the DNR permit limits for nitrate during times with nitrate above average levels in the river. Each alternative may have a threshold nitrate level above which continued discharge of the residuals to the river may not be permitted. The residuals above the threshold nitrate levels would need to be discharged to the Des Moines WRA sanitary sewer system with associated costs for the discharges. Similar process of all the alternatives, three alternatives were finally selected for further evaluation, all three providing a 25 MGD firm capacity. One of these was conventional process, lime softening, another full membrane process with UF and RO, and one a hybrid process of traditional and membrane processes. So further evaluation of those three alternatives proceeded. And then finally, with all the details and development of the alternatives, they again were ranked for non-economic and economic considerations, the same list of non-economic and economic considerations were evaluated, and each of the alternatives ranked for those criteria. And results of that ranking for non-economic considerations, alternative D was ranked highest, non-economic and life cycle cost consideration, D is ranked highest. For life cycle costs only, B is ranked the highest. And then overall, alternative D is recommended. And that alternative provides the 25 MGD of firm capacity, pre-sedimentation with high rate clarification, oxidation with ozone, biologically active roughing contactors. All of those elements on the front end of the plant necessitated for the advanced treatment necessary to treat 100% river water. And then followed by encased ultrafiltration and reverse osmosis. And with the plant requiring just over 30 MGD to provide 25 MGD of finished water capacity. And the same design criteria for the firm capacity at 40 degrees F and highest raw water hardness of 400. So then further development and preliminary engineering and cost of the selected alternative followed. This is a process flow diagram of that selected alternative. It includes on the front end of the plant, both the ability to use raw water from the river and horizontal collector well water, but the plant and the processes are designed to be able to treat and handle up to 100% river water directly from the Des Moines River. On the site, kind of the layout of the key facilities on the site, these are all shown immediately west of the existing plant. That's a site that now is a golf driving range, just west of the of your property there. A similarly sized site parcel in that immediate vicinity of the existing plant could also work for the new plant processes. Just a rundown of what's on the site. Number one is the pre-sedimentation facilities. Number two is the ozone generation equipment and the ozone contact basin. Three is the main treatment building. Four is the chemical storage and feed building. Five is the chlorine contact and finished water storage structure. Six is the emergency generator building. And seven is additional lagoon area and volume for the pre-sedimentation solids. And then the source water to feed that plant expansion, there were three potential intake locations identified, one north near the existing plant with the shortest length of raw water piping to feed the plant being the lowest cost option. The one closer to I-80 on the south having the longest required raw water piping to feed back to the plant and the highest cost, and another potential location in between. Also, two new collector wells south of I-80 would be added, and their piping network connected to the previous network of collector well mains that would that fed the 10 MGD expansion. Also, distribution and transmission alternatives were evaluated. A map of key transmission improvements that are needed to get the extra 25 MGD of finished water supply out of the Sailorville plant and out into the distribution system where it's needed. A major transmission main all the way west, you know, out into the area at or near the LP Moon storage and pumping station to feed that western growth. Another element, not as immediately necessary, but long-term to feed on down into your Des Moines distribution system for additional supply to the south and east. All of the transmission main segments of that map would be necessary as the plant is expanded to 45 MGD total capacity at the site. Additional detailed water distribution system hydraulic modeling is being performed as an amendment to this preliminary engineering report, and that work is happening now as we speak. The results of the additional modeling will finalize the pipeline sizes and capacities for all of these pipeline segments. A range of pipeline sizes are presented for comparison purposes at this time, but this additional modeling will nail down the ultimate sizing. That the one transmission main segment to the east and south of the treatment plant won't be necessary until the total demand served by the plant site approaches 40 MGD. So it is not included in the initial transmission main improvements at this time. So then closing here with some of our perspectives with some of the issues versus the 10 MGD project versus the 25 MGD project. source water investigations up front will be necessary. There will be borings, test wells, and test pumping that must be done before design for siting and capacity determinations for the new collector wells for the 10 MGD expansion. Additional investigations must be done for additional collector wells and the river intake for the 25 MGD expansion. Several piloting aspects. Pilot testing must be done for the encased UF systems early in the design for the 10 MGD expansion. And more extensive pilot testing must be done for the high rate pre-sedimentation, ozone, biologically active roughing contactors, UF, and RO systems for the river surface water source for the 25 MGD expansion. There's major equipment procurement to be done for both. Pre-procurement of the UF and RO systems should be done early in the design for the 10 MGD project. And pre-procurement of the high rate pre-sedimentation, ozone, UF, and RO systems should be done early in the design of the 25 MGD project. So a common theme here is that some work is necessary for the 10 MGD project, but even more extensive work for the 25. Residuals issues, the DNR permit limits should be able to be met for continued discharge of water treatment residuals to the river for the 10 MGD project. DNR permit limits for nitrate may not be met at all times, requiring the residuals to be discharged to the Des Moines WRA sanitary sewer system at times for the 25 MGD expansion. So additional evaluation and coordination with Polk County and the WRA will be necessary before the 25 MGD project design. Total timeline considerations. The total time schedule for source water investigations, piloting, residuals issues, pre-procurement of equipment, design, and ultimately the full construction will likely be 3 to 5 years longer for the 25 MGD project versus the 10 MGD project. And finally, cost considerations. The total project cost per MGD of treatment appears to be greater for the 25 MGD expansion versus the 10 MGD. The final costs are still being determined by our contractor partners, Garney and Lane, and should be available and complete before the end of the month, end of March. A couple of key points. The 25 MGD plant requires advanced treatment technologies to treat river water and more extensive transmission improvements that drive that cost per MGD of treatment higher. The 10 MGD project takes advantage of existing facilities and groundwater treatment and lesser transmission improvements that really result in lesser cost per MGD. So some final question?
I have questions, but we can wait until the end.
Okay, I'm winding down here. So this is my last slide. So just some final recommendations. We'd recommend to proceed with the 10 MGD expansion first. It's less cost and time to get the capacity online, but also to proceed with piloting activities for the 25 MGD expansion concurrent with the 10 MGD design. That allows the design to proceed for the 25 MGD expansion while the 10 MGD expansion is constructed, and allows the 25 MGD construction to follow closely after the 10 MGD project. So I guess with that, any questions and comments?
Andrea, do you want to kick us off with questions?
Sure. I just want to make sure I'm understand clearly on that last slide, Ben, you're proposing that we do both eventually, the 10 and the 25?
Well, you know, from the background and looking at the projected demand through the years, there was kind of a key point in time that by the year 2028, just 6 years down the road, there would be a need to provide, originally was intended to be a 10 MGD expansion of Sailorville and a 12 and a half of McMullen, or alternately the 10 MGD of Sailorville and the 25 at Sailorville also, to meet that demand, at least by the late 2020s. So if there is a need and an urgency really to try to jumpstart these and sequence them as closely in series as possible, that, you know, piloting of the larger project while the smaller project is in design could kind of, you know, parallel track those a little bit to help fast track those improvements coming online.
We would need, that would adjust the site plan though, right, of the property. We want to be able to fit everything at the same location.
For the 25 MGD expansion, we really don't have any of that, of the facilities of that, on the existing site proper. The 10 MGD expansion fits within your existing property boundaries. The 25 would be beyond that. Either
uses that golf court or the driving range.
Yeah, some parcel next door or one in the, it could be in the fairly immediate vicinity, a comparable size property.
And I'll just ask one more question before I open it up to others. So you said that to do the 25 is 3 to 5 years longer than the 10. How long does the 10 MGD, how long would you guess that would take to construct?
Let me kind of go back into my lineup here of, I've kind of got it in my head, you know, the source water investigations, you know, are likely going to be maybe a year before you get into design, piloting concurrent with design, that 10 MGD project, you know, between those activities and the actual design might stretch 3 years. Pre-procurement in the initial part of a bidding process, probably on the order of, you know, 5 years on the short end and maybe stretching to 6 or 7 on the long end for the 10 MGD.
So there's definitely a sense of urgency that we need to start tomorrow if we're going to try to reach that 2028 completion goal, even for the 10 MGD. Okay. Does anybody else have any questions to ask of Mark?
I have a couple questions. I think they're more of Ted than Mark as we look at this. So my question is, if we achieve regionalization, are we going to have more options for water sources in the future that we could look at beyond the ones that we have?
You know, we may have options that are not on this current site, but we do believe that the primary water availability is along the Des Moines River.
Okay.
Everyone's aware that Urbandale owns some gravel pits and they could potentially be a good source. We didn't consider those in this evaluation because they weren't ours and aren't available to us.
Right. Right.
So there is that possibility, mm-hmm. but we believe that when we're looking for this quantity of water, the Des Moines River corridor is where we're going to need to look.
Because I thought one of the things we were thinking about with all of the nitrates and other issues with the river water is getting off that and starting to look elsewhere.
Yeah, that was definitely a direction that we've been going. That's why we've had USGS up here in this corridor doing the evaluation. The challenge is that based on the preliminary results that they've provided us thus far, if we're going to have water available to use at Fluor Drive that's lower in nitrates and lower in toxins, and we're going to use water for the 10 MGD expansion at Sailorville, there probably isn't enough left to do much of anything else, at least on the sites that we have available to us in this corridor. So that was the basis of the surface water for the 25 MGD facility. That facility, I will say, is an incredibly robust facility that's being designed with all of the water quality challenges in mind. And it should be able to handle nitrates and toxins and organics and the other things that we've battled here at Fluor Drive. It's still a challenge though, because we don't know what's going to be the next thing. Now, one thing that I think is nice about the direction that we've seen here is, you know, we can start the 10 MGD design in earnest soon. There's a little bit of a challenge of how we roll that into the regional concept and who's going to pay the cost of that expansion. That's something that we're still trying to figure out. How do we get permission or buy-in or commitment from all of the communities to participate in what is likely, even on the 10 MGD side, going to be very expensive? But once we get that going, then we have a little bit of time to decide what the next step is. And I think we will probably want to talk to HDR about, okay, is this the best site? Or, do we want to look at Urbandale's site? Or we've had some preliminary conversations about looking out west at McMullen, and, you know, the water just isn't there. We understand what's going on out there. But do we want to look south of the metro along the Des Moines River? We haven't had that conversation. It gives us a tiny little bit of breathing room, but Andrea was very astute in noticing, you know, you're recommending we do both. Well, you know, we're going to have both of these moving along kind of concurrently if we're going to be prepared for the demand that we've projected here in the next 10 years. And so there's a lot of work ahead of us, a lot that has to be done. If we're going to be on this site, Diane, we're going to be using river water. I don't know yet whether there would be any other option that would help us avoid using a lot of river water, but we may want to ask that question before we launch into actual pilot testing and design for the 25 MGD expansion. Yeah.
Interrupt your line of questioning, but I do, along these lines, have another question for you, Ted. So do I understand correctly then that the water that goes through this treatment plant wouldn't necessarily have to go through the nitrate system?
What we've seen, Andrea, in the radial collector well water that we collect for Sailorville, is we've never had nitrate concentrations over 10 milligrams per liter. So we would likely not have to have any kind of nitrate removal, because we're going to start with comparably lower nitrates, and then we have RO. And the RO, which will treat half of the water, removes all of the nitrates. So nitrate has never been a question at the Sailorville treatment plant.
Okay.
Now, if we do the 25 MGD expansion and we're using surface water, then absolutely we're going to have some sort of nitrate removal treatment, which is looking in the recommendation is RO again, because we can't get rid of the nitrate or the ion exchange waste. The process that we use here at Fluor Drive is ion exchange, and that creates a waste product that we can't return to the river, and the WRA has indicated they're not interested in taking. So it kind of precludes us from using ion exchange up there.
Okay. Thank you.
My question just had to do with capacity of the Urbandale gravel pits. Do we even have any idea if those were on the table for the region? What?
I don't have a sense of what kind of capacity they have, and I don't know if Kyle or Mike or Mark would have a sense. I think that that treatment plant they were looking at was in their neighborhood of 8 or 10 million gallons per day, but that's circumstantial evidence.
Sure. Okay.
So I'm going to say no, I don't.
Yeah, I don't know either, Ted, the total capacity of source they were planning.
I know Nathan Casey is a little more informed on that particular site. He was involved in that at one time, but he's not on right now that I can see. So I'm sorry, Diane, I don't think we're
going to. No, that's fine. I'm just thinking out loud on sources other than river, surface water.
Right, right. I think that's a question that we'll want to ask, you know, sort of once this decision is made.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's opportunity to look somewhere else or not, but we're going to ask that question.
Yeah, and that's probably longer range. I mean, this is much more immediate.
Any other questions for Mark? I want to talk a little bit about kind of key takeaways and path forward here, but I want to make sure the board has their questions answered.
I think you're up, Ted.
Very good. Well, as we look at this information, I think some of the key takeaways here are that the 10 MGD expansion, because it takes advantage of existing infrastructure that's already on the site and existing permits that we can likely continue to work within, because there's groundwater available to supply that expansion, because there's significantly less transmission, there are some real benefits. One being that the timeline is shorter in terms of getting it online, and two is that the cost per MGD appears to be less for the smaller expansion, even though that's a little bit counterintuitive, but there are just so many benefits there that make that likely that the 10 MGD will be cheaper per unit of volume. The 25 MGD requires significantly more facility. We're going to have to purchase some property. We're going to have to use surface water, which we just talked about. We're going to have differing permits and more permits, all of which takes time. Significantly more transmission to distribute that around the industry, around the community. All of that is going to have to come as we move forward, but it all seems to point to starting with the expansion of the existing and then moving towards the additional. So the next step in this process, we are going to work with Mark to schedule a presentation to our regional partners, a much more detailed presentation where Mark can kind of go through the various alternatives that were considered and why they were not chosen. And he's got a lot more detail even in what you saw, and then additional slides that we just took out that he can share with the group to help them understand what path we're on. And then we were going to have to navigate this question of, you know, how do we move forward with the capacity expansion as at the same time as we are trying to stand up a regional entity. How do we get commitments? Who's going to pay? How are we going to pay? All of those things are yet to be determined, but this is a critically important next step. The costing that Mark talked about with their partners, Garney and Lane, are doing some actual cost estimating. I'm just going to say the costs are looking high. There are a lot of things driving the higher costs, including all the things that we've heard about, supply chain issues, labor issues, not to mention the hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars of federal infrastructure funds that are flowing into the economy and making all the contractors so busy and kind of, you know, literally clogging up the pipeline, no pun intended, but the cost is going to be high, but the costs are the costs. So we'll have some significant hurdles in figuring out how we are going to facilitate this expansion and the allocation of that to our regional partners and the commitments to pay. We're going to have to figure that all out, but I think our board is going to be put in the position of having to make a decision on moving forward with detailed design before those questions are all completely worked out, because we cannot afford to spend another year waiting for those decisions to be made. So
Ted, is this considered growth or is this considered something else?
This would be considered growth. Now, I will say that there are some components of this, like the transmission, that's going to benefit everyone. And so there were some pieces of that we will consider, you know, core network projects. And that would be in the model we're considering right now, those costs would be shared by all. But the 10 MGD of capacity that we're adding here is 10 MGD of growth. And that would be, conceptually, that would be paid 91% by communities that are growing and want to reserve extra capacity for themselves and 9% shared according to the framework. The challenge is that we don't have a list yet that says here are the growing communities that add up to 10 million gallons per day and here's who's going to pay. That's part of what we're going to need to work through here in the coming months.
Do you see this as being any part of a negotiation of regionalization as a whole, or just one thing that needs to be worked out?
That's a great question. And honestly, I see it as part of the discussion that we're going to have over the next 6 months. Is it part of a negotiation, or is it just part of, you know, building the understanding of how the regional entity is going to work? I'm not sure how to characterize it, Andrea, but it is definitely going to be right in the middle of the conversation. And frankly, I'm very pleased that we are to this point, and within a month or so, we're going to have costs that we can be talking about, and they're going to be big, and they're going to be on the table as people are deciding what they want to do, instead of people, our communities, signing on the dotted line on an agreement that we negotiated through 6 months of conversation, only to find out that we've got this option that is going to appear very expensive to them that we're asking them to buy into. So I think this is actually very good timing. It isn't going to make the discussion any easier, though.
Mm-hmm. I agree. It's good timing.
Yeah, but I mean, one way or another, we're going to have to find this capacity. If we regionalize, if we don't regionalize, we're still going to have to, because we're under continuing contract obligations.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point, Diane, and one that I wanted to make, that the other positive, if you will, about starting with the 10 MGD, we need that whether we're going to regionalize or not, because the communities who are not likely to participate in the regional in a non-regional entity, if you will, the communities who have considered other options, if they decide not to participate in Central Iowa Water Works and they go do other things, we as Des Moines Water Works and our remaining partners are still going to need some capacity. And so the 10 MGD is a better choice than the 25 MGD. And given that it's lower cost and it's quicker to implement, it just, there's some synergies there that make it clear to me that's a good path forward. But we want to get this out in front of the rest of the communities. Technical advisory committee, if you will. We got to get the cost. We got to get this groundwater study done and figure out how much water is really available so we can be making some decisions here early this year.
Any more on on this topic of the water treatment plant expansion from anybody else on the call? Well, we really appreciate Mark and Ted, you coming and to share all of this information with us. I'm feeling a sense of urgency that hopefully we can get to a decision and that regionalization discussions doesn't hinder us from moving quickly on this, since you know that 2028 is sticking in my mind as a looming deadline that we need to meet. But I appreciate all of the effort that went into preparing all those alternatives and being able to present us with the best one, and feeling good about that. But with that, let's move on to the CEO and general manager's comments.
Andrea, just two real quick things from me. Number one, I want to remind everyone that we have our first two public open houses for conversations with Des Moines customers about regional governance. The first one is tomorrow from 11 to 1 at the downtown mm-hmm. library. The second one is Thursday afternoon, 4:30 to 6:30, I believe, at the East Side Library. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. It's either 4 to 6 or 4:30 to 6:30, and I think it's 4:30 to 6:30. And then the other thing that I will offer is that we at Des Moines Water Works, we did change our face covering policy on Friday afternoon. We're no longer requiring employees to wear face coverings indoors or in vehicles or in any situation, unless they choose to. They certainly are welcome to wear face coverings if that's their preference. That being the case, I think we're moving in the direction of having an in-person option for the board meeting on March 22nd. It's still our intention to have a Zoom option, even for board members, if you prefer to attend via Zoom, but more information to come on that, but just making you aware that we're heading in that direction, that on March 22nd, we would have an in-person board meeting here in the main office building. So that's what I have for today, Andrea.
Great, thank you. We have some time for public comments. Do we have any public either there or on the call? I don't recognize any, but.
I have no one with me.
Okay. All right, well, then with that, thank you all for joining us this afternoon, and we'll look forward to maybe seeing everybody in person on the 22nd.
Sounds good. Great. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.